Your new home for 49ers football in the 916. Sactown Sports.
Sal's and Watkins, Sactown Sports. You don't want no problems, want no problems. And I don't want no problems with the Beam. Please. That's a remix. You don't want no problems, want no problems. With Beam. And I do not. Sal's and Watkins, Sactown Sports. Taking you up. Taking you up to 2 p.m., breaking down all things Kings as they get a W. A much-needed W.
We're going to 215 today.
215, that's right.
One.
Extra 15. Yeah. Ding, ding, ding. Tell him what he's won, Johnny.
Got a little overtime.
You have won the chance to play Chris versus Keegan.
Yeah, oh, yes. We will have Chris versus Keegan, part 18, yes. Because that's what we're going to do. We're just going to milk this thing, because why not? Quick question for everybody out there, because I just have it open, because why not? Skylar Mays. Where did Skylar Mays go to college?
Do I have a hint?
It's in the SEC.
I know the answer because G-Man said it on the broadcast, so I will recuse myself.
I'll give you a better hint.
SEC school.
Okay. It came up in Crosstalk. That should be a layup. No pun intended.
Today it came up?
Today.
Shows how much I listened during Crosstalk. an SEC school came up today during
Crosstalk. No, not a school, the state.
Oh, the state. Oh, well, okay, Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
He go to LSU?
He did. Go Tigers.
Is he a rookie?
He is. I believe he was a rookie.
There last year? Okay.
No, he was drafted in 2020 in the second round.
Okay, sure. I mean, I assume he probably, I would think. I mean, who knows with this
26.
Blazer team, like who's been on that Blazer team.
I think
team
we just assumed everybody was a rookie besides Jeremy Grant and Deontay.
He did play 51 games with the Atlanta Hawks.
Wow.
Interesting.
Over two seasons. He started 5 games, apparently.
I got to tell
you,
watching his game just made me want to really get back on my rehab, because that's basically me. I'm just driving.
Yeah.
I'm just driving, and I'm not taking a jump shot unless you make me. And that's what happened
at
the end of the game.
Yeah.
Was it Davion on him at the end of the game?
I can't remember. I don't it's really sad because I said I want to say I don't think so because I remember a hand in his face.
Come on.
Damn.
I think it was Davion.
I could be. I mean, yeah, I just remember seeing the shot in the air and having it be like a Disney movie in slow motion where you just kind of see the ball in the
air.
I'm
pretty sure it was Davion.
It definitely might have been.
Either way, shout out to the defense yesterday. Last night, we called out players. We called out the defense as a whole, and they stepped up. Ooh. Kessler Edwards.
Yeah, that's what he does.
I saw some talking, and we got how many minutes did Harrison Barnes play? Coming up here as well. And there were a lot of conversations going on about Kessler Edwards coming for them. Harrison Barnes minutes now offensively. I would still take Harrison Barnes over Kessler Edwards. But to have another shutdown guy, we're sitting here. You add a Keon Ellis who's got length. You add a Kessler Edwards who's got length. You got off night and Davion Mitchell. I think what I loved last night about the win, even though it wasn't the prettiest thing, we're learning that Mike Brown has a lot of different versions of a lineup that he can put out. If he wants to go, if Jeremy Grant is giving you problems, Kessler Edwards, figure it out. We're going out there. If you got a guard giving him problems, Davion or even Keon, because Keon's got some more length. And Keon will be up and down. He won't be with the team the whole time. But you have so many different options here to play with that it didn't feel like the Kings had before. Now, offensively, I don't know if it's the same different dimensions, right? And we were a little bit surprised because we thought it would be like that. But, you know, some of the guys, Sasha hasn't really figured it out yet. Keegan's still struggling a little bit. So Kevin Herter, who we have not talked about Red Velvet at all.
No.
We'll get into him a little bit later because I think he's back. Mm. Kevon showed up last night, and
Kevin
I think he's
Herter.
Back.
Mm.
There you go.
I miss that sound.
So I think that what we saw defensively, I am willing to say, and I know it was against the Blazers and they were missing some guys, but I'm willing to say that I am not worried about the Kings defensively in terms of being in the basement. Right now, it's just about the offense.
Yeah, at the moment, it's definitely about the offense. I think the thing that I liked most about what Mike did was, like you said, kind of it's the fact that he's willing to throw those guys out there, because those guys have been, I mean, Keon Ellis has been a two-way player for this team for a couple years now. He acquired Kessler Edwards and played him a good amount last year, but it's the fact that, you know, we talked a lot about heading into this game, it might seriously be a go back to the drawing board, go back to the whiteboard and try and figure everything out again. And that's a whole lot easier said than done, especially for a head coach in the NBA. Right. Like, these guys are stubborn. These guys have egos as well, and they don't like to admit when they're wrong. And it's a huge credit to, I mean, granted, the Kings kind of left him no choice with their performance the last two games heading into last night. But shout out to Mike Brown, who realistically looked at that and said, I got to play guys who have been productive. Like, I can't feel bad that I'm not going to give Sasha minutes or give JaVale McGee minutes or any of that stuff. I'm going to cut Duarte's minutes. He just said, I'm going to play guys that I have faith in and that I've seen actually produce. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to let the results rock with whatever the results are, but I'm going to win in a way that I feel comfortable and confident, and I'm not just going to go down being stubborn. And I really do think that's evolution from Mike Brown, because he's talked about how in the past he would be a lot more rigid, and he kind of actually credits Steve Kerr and that Golden State experience for loosening him up and, mm-hmm. and understanding that, you know, basketball is still a game and it is meant to be, you know, with how the Warriors play and at the level they play at, you understand that this game at its root is you're supposed to go out there and have fun. I think that's why the Warriors constantly lead the league in turnovers is because they have exciting play, but you got to still have fun while you're doing that, and turnovers are going to come with that. I say all that to say Mike Brown definitely was not afraid to go down and say, yeah, I started a two-way guy. Like, I don't care if I lose because of it. I don't care if Davion Mitchell's mad at me and I lose him for the rest of the season emotionally because I make this move. I got to do what's best for this team. And he even said that in the pregame. He's like, I have conversations with these guys all the time, but at the end of those conversations, when I walk out the door, everybody understands I'm going to do what's best for this team. Mm-hmm. I can, you know, we can be friendly, we can have relationships, but at the end of the day, this is a business, and especially in sports is all about performance.
Right.
And names can only take you so far. You know, contracts can only take you so far. If you're not performing, You're not gonna see the floor, and I love that Mike Brown actually lived by that.
Yeah, and that's well said. And you just don't have time. You just don't have time in a season. And do you also think that maybe the fact that they did lose so bad and they were in such a bad place and in a basement and at one point being down a 40 burger to the Rockets, do you think that gave him honestly more freedom?
Yes,
because
absolutely.
It's just, hey man, guys. What, really?
Yeah.
Really?
There can't be egos. That's the thing. There's no egos when you're down 40.
Right. There are no egos. Yeah. Everything is on the table. So I do think that in a weird way, it gave him more freedom, the ability to do what he wanted, because nobody
gave him that leash. Yeah.
Right. Right. Now, if you're Davion specifically, you could say, okay, I don't know why it's on me when the whole team played like trash, but why am I the only guy that has to, you know, kind of hold this L and go back to the bench? But, you know, it's all about knowing your players and knowing how they're going to respond. And Davion Mitchell responds with by far his best game. He was getting to the cup.
Yep.
He was distributing the basketball. Knocked down some threes, some big threes towards the end of the game.
OT.
Steals, right? That play where he picks the pocket.
How about the play before that as well? Harrison slapping the lob pass to Ayton as well.
Right,
I thought those two straight defensive possessions, that won them the game. 100%.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because that's the turning point. If the Blazers get those two buckets or even one of those two buckets, the momentum's too much, the point differential's too much, and that game's over.
Yeah. Yeah. So what he did, Davion Mitchell, I mean, this is straight out of slap the floor, basketball, March Madness, and hey, he's an NCAA March Madness champion.
Yes, sir.
So it makes sense. He picks the pocket, he gets ahead of him before the ball goes out of bounds and tosses it off the guy's leg. So it goes out of bounds and goes back to the Kings. I love the Keon Ellis alley-oop. I love everything that I saw. Three steals from Keon, but that gritty play right there where Davion was able to just go get in his bag, right? People got different bags.
Yep.
When you think of bag, you think, okay, I'm going to boogie.
Yep.
You think of Kyrie,
exactly.
Right? But people got different bags, and Davion was in his bag last night, which is hitting open shots, distributing the basketball, and being a complete pest on the defensive end.
Yep.
And I know we're about to do our dog segment here at 11:30, but you can probably guess where I'm going. I think I know where Chris is going. We're going to see where Kyle's going as well. But it was just an exciting, exciting game. And you talk about the epitome of a team win. You look up a team win in the dictionary, and you are going to see last night win. You ain't going to see it under the definition of a pretty win.
No.
But you will see it under the definition of a team win. It was all hands on deck. And instead of doing a blame pie, we can do a success pie, because that's how good it was to see a beam, or a beam pie. That's how good it was to see what the Kings did last night. Got to get to a break. When we get back, it's time to have that conversation, though. Uh-huh. We've been very, very positive, but there are some things that we're still a bit worried about. We'll get to that and much more. Dog segment at 11:30. Sals and Watkins, Sactown Sports.
Your home for Kings basketball for over 25 seasons.
Sactown Sports.
Sals and Watkins, Sactown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. 11th official show, and we're celebrating a beam. Yes. We are celebrating the Kings beating the Trailblazers and doing it in, I don't want to say convincing fashion,
no,
but
definitely don't say that.
Basically, a win is a win is a win is a win. And thank you to Kyle getting in my ear during the break. We were curious on that Skylar Mays three, who was guarding him. Was it Davion? I thought it was Davion.
I did.
It was actually, well, you didn't know either, did you, Chris?
I just don't remember a hand being in the.
All
in
right,
the face
well, leave
of the
him alone. Wait, see, okay,
shooter,
can you be a relative zont? Because he's over six, but he's an NBA zont.
I would say he's a spiritual zont. How
okay.
About that?
He's the NBA zont. It's all relative. It was Kessler Edwards.
Shout out Kessler.
Who was defending Skylar Mays. And Kessler, still need to see what you're able to do offensively, but defensively, he's a problem.
Yeah.
And defensively, you might find some things, another younger guy. So, hey, you get into this league and you find your niche, and then you expand from there.
Yep.
It was a bit of a coming out party for Kessler Edwards. I know everybody was talking about Keon Ellis, but I think Keon Ellis was just, hey, I feel good about this. Keon's not going to do too much. One thing I noticed was that Keon, for sure, and I don't know if this was because he was starting or what, but at the end of the Rockets game and even in the preseason and things like that, he was pulling. There were definitely a couple opportunities for Keon to shoot last night that he and I probably would have done the same thing. If it's my first start and I'm coming off and I'm trying to figure out what's, you know, I don't want to do too much.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't be surprised if Coach Brown said, hey, great job. Those threes, though, if you're in the lineup, just like I tell everybody else. Now, he's no Kevin Herter or Keegan Murray,
right.
But if you're open, take him, because you've been hitting them.
Yeah.
You've been hitting them.
No, and you got to be a threat out there.
You have to.
You can't just stand
out
there.
You have to. But the Kings got away with it. They get the W, and Kessler Edwards really has shown what he's got going on. But as we said, we have to keep things in perspective. We have to be realistic about this. The Trailblazers were terribly undermanned, and they continued to lose guys as the game progressed. Malcolm Brogdon, and I'm not even sure what happened to Malcolm Brogdon.
No, I didn't see it happen. Frankie just leaned over to us and was like, hey, Malcolm Brogdon's out the rest of today. And I was like, what?
Right.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then he popped back anything.
Up in street clothes.
Was his hamstring? I didn't even see what it ended up being, but it's just like, I mean, that guy, I mean, he just can't stay healthy. I mean, that's been the biggest thing of his career is he just has not been healthy at all for any consistent portion of his career. And it's really sad because the dude's got crazy talent.
Yeah. Sixth man of the year last year. Sixth man of the year. Right. So,
when you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Brighten your home with big savings at Menards. Combine stylish lighting with LED technology with Fight Electric Smart Color Changing Light Bulbs. They have a full range of colors, allowing you to choose the perfect one to suit your mood. Say big on all Fight Lighting Smart Home products. Now at Menards. Shop our lighting options today, in-store and on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's lunchtime at Tim Hortons, and we're serving up a special deal just for you. Our new $5.99 lunch deal includes your choice of any lunch sandwich and a side of crunchy kettle chips. Because what's lunch without a little crunch? And the sandwich choice is all yours. Like a ham and Swiss, Chipotle chicken wrap, BLT, and more. Made to order just the way you like it. Tim Hortons' new lunch deal. Simple, delicious, and just $5.99. Now that's a good deal. Only at your neighborhood Tim's. U.S. only. Price and participation vary. Terms apply.
The whole deal with like the Clippers rescinding a trade because of his medicals or something too. That was a whole weird
thing.
Wouldn't
surprise me. Yeah, I mean,
I think it was the Marcus Smart. They like were originally going to trade Brogdon and then traded Marcus Smart. It was weird.
Yeah, yeah. So I mean, that whole team, like they said, you got, and maybe you look at what the Celtics did and what they flipped. I mean, you flipped a Robert Williams who can't
he
get,
can't
on, the
get on the floor.
Malcolm
yeah.
Brogdon,
can't
who's
get
had
on the
some
floor.
Some difficulties as well. So the Celtics really maybe
they
finesse.
Traded for Kristaps Porzingis, who's always on the floor.
Well, he's been on the floor more than them. He's been on the floor more than them. So as we kind of bring this whole thing back to reality, even though we're still celebrating the beam, don't get it twisted. We are still celebrating that beam. There are some things that were still a bit glaring as it pertains to the Kings and Keegan Murray, man.
Can't
I mean, what else? What else can you do?
What needs to be set up for him? I mean, he's got his brother in town. He's got all of his family, his parents, his sisters in town.
Yeah.
And he's got it all set up for him. And, returning back home to Sacramento and just even that couldn't get him going.
And they're open.
Yeah, wide open.
They're open.
Wide open. I don't know what to say anymore. I mean, he's in a shooting slump. It is what it is. You got to call a spade a spade. And Keegan is not playing well right now, and there's I don't think that there's anything that I've seen that shows like, oh, he's starting to figure things out. It's not like, you know, in that Warriors series last year in the playoffs, he really struggled for the first three games, but at the end of that third game when the Kings were getting blown out, checked in the fourth quarter and started to hit a couple shots, and that was kind of the launch point for Keegan having a really good end to that series. We haven't even seen that. We haven't seen like, oh, okay, yeah, Keegan's, you know, hitting five or six floaters or just seeing the ball go through the net a couple times. He's off, and he's really not really contributing these last couple games at all. Like, not even on, you know, in that Warrior game, it was
couple
guarding
blocks,
Steph.
Couple
you know?
Blocks for here sure. and there. And he had two blocks last night, 1 for 6 from three-point land, 4 for 17 from the field. 7 rebounds, which is decent.
It's good.
3
Gotta
assists.
Got to contribute somewhere.
He was a plus 9.
The assist was good. That was good to see from Keegan. I think I looked it up. And last year he only had 4 games where he had 4 or more assists. And he had 5 in the overtime game against the Lakers. So it's good to see. Again, yeah, Keegan's not, you know, he's not hitting shots, but at least he's still part of the offense.
9 points. And can I... I'm almost going to sound like you here.
Oh, that's nice.
Because
we can do a little Freaky Friday.
We could. That is for tomorrow.
Yep.
Hang on. And we'll have a song for that as well. Because, you know, I know it's easy to say. What, you never heard the Freaky Friday song by Lil Dicky?
Yeah, that's the one I thought you meant. But I was like, I don't think we can really play that on
here. No. Instrumental. Instrumental version. Like, there you go. Shout out instrumental versions. Yeah. Because as I watch Keegan Murray, and I know it's easy to do this, and I'm going to do it anyway, and I know it's a bit cliche to say once they start falling, but I'm going to do it only because I do see growth, and I see the blocks, and that bag, some of the moves that he's making, those stop and pops, those up and unders that just aren't falling right now, he's basically growing his bag right in front of our face, and it's just... Some of them just aren't falling right now because I don't know if he's ever done those moves before in a game. But he is pushing himself to do things that he isn't incredibly comfortable doing.
Wow, you do sound like me.
If it does click, and it's an if for this season.
Yeah.
We don't know how long it's going to take. But if it does click and his three-pointers even get close to what they were last season, the Kings got a guy. Yeah. But I know a lot of ifs and, you know, ifs and ifs and ifs, but I see the vision.
Yeah, that's the problem. I think that's what's so frustrating.
I see the vision.
Yeah.
That one, he had a stop and pop, and then he did the stop and pop, and then he went up and under, and it rimmed out.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm thinking, wow, I mean, these are real deal moves that we have talked about. They're not the classic, oh, I'm just a big guard, small forward, post mm-hmm. moves. They are his version of that, and you can tell he's working on different things. They're just not falling right now, but I am still encouraged because he's doing things that we just haven't seen him do before. And getting out of your comfort zone is one of the toughest things to do. You could just stand, and that's what you've talked about. If Coach Brown wants to say, just stand out there and just shoot threes like you've been doing, Coach Brown said, no. Yeah. I think you could be better than that.
Yep.
So I think he's willing, or it seems like he is willing, to survive, hopefully, this slump. Yes. Hopefully, it doesn't last too long, because the end result – You can't hate the caterpillar and love the butterfly. And right now, we're seeing the
he's
caterpillar.
He's in the cocoon right now.
He's in the cocoon right now. Yeah. Okay. We're
he's hibernating.
We're knocking on the cocoon. You're going to open up now? when is the deal? But I am seeing a lot of different things that he is doing, and that is making me feel good about it, even if the ball isn't going in the hoop.
Oh, man.
Right,
Alan Stiles, how far you've come in 24 hours from just trying to shut off the beam to understanding Keegan Murray's shooting slump.
Come on,
You came a long way.
I'm just looking at
you. Came
I'm a Keegan
such
butterfly.
A long way. Yeah. What do you
I'm a Keegan butterfly. Look at me. I'm in my chrysalis.
Why are you bringing up
chrysalis
the beam
is
again?
Crazy. That would definitely be that's definitely in Keegan's vocabulary.
Why are you bringing up the beam again?
I'm just acknowledging how far you have come already.
What's up,
as
Vancouver?
A Sacramentan, you know.
What's up, Vancouver?
Vancouver. Absolutely.
What's
I mean,
up, Vancouver.
I agree with you 100%. Like, I really don't have anything to add to what you just said, because I completely agree. It doesn't make it any less frustrating, because I think that's the thing that's leading to so much. I wouldn't say there's anger around Keegan, but just angst, anxiety, questioning around Keegan is we understand that what he's doing this year is so different than what he is doing last year. It's just, and that's why it's hard to call it a slump, because it's not like he's just struggling. It's not like he's going out there taking the same shots he was taking last year, but just taking more, and he's missing more. It's he's doing things he wasn't even being asked to do last year. He's playing a whole new ball game, and he's just working through it. And so it's the understanding of why he's in the slump that I think it's that's going to be the difference. To we're probably going to hear some outside noise here pretty soon about how bad Keegan looks, and how maybe, you know, the Kings were banking on this guy to be their second star, and you know, he's verging on getting taken out of the starting line. That's not happening, but that's what people from the outside are going to say, is this guy is struggling so much. Maybe he's not the guy that we thought he was, and it's just frustrating. I think he's going to come to the other side of it at some point, but the problem that I have, if I could be on the devil's advocate side of this argument, is I don't know if he looks comfortable doing any – like, getting out of your comfort zone, yes, is very important, but, like – is he so far removed from his comfort zone that he's just wandering in an abyss of nothing, where he's just like, I can't do anything right? Like, last year, I was only doing a couple things, but the couple things I was doing, for the most part, I was always doing it right. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't feel like I have anything that I can say, okay, that's my, like, this is my comfort zone. I can always go to that.
Threes, though.
It's supposed to be, but I think it's all playing into each other of he's just, his mind is right. He's never still. He's never confident. He's never comfortable. He's never in rhythm. Mm-hmm. He's always thinking, how am I going to do this? Because I've never had to do this before, so I have to consciously think before I even do it what I'm going to do. And I think I think he's too in his head right now.
Well, and it might be, and this is on Coach Brown and the coaching staff, it might be too much too soon.
Yeah, for sure.
Right? It might be too much too soon. Maybe you threw him in the deep end and it's 12 feet. Maybe he should be right in the middle of the pool and it's 5 feet, right? Maybe that's the situation. So I completely hear what you're saying there. I'm excited to see that he's actually just trying different things, because it's very easy to just stay in your shell. And specifically with De'Aaron out. Got to get to a break. When we get back, it's time. Get it ready. Get it set. It's the dog segment. Get your dogs ready. Kyle better have one. Chris better have one. I know I have one. 916-339-1140. Who is your dog for last night's game? Call line, text line, YouTube chat. Keep it rolling. We'll read them off and we'll take your calls. Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports.
Headlines.
Good morning. morning, Sacramento. My name is Kyle Ledbetter, and these are your Sactown Sports headlines. The Sacramento Kings won in overtime 121-118 against the Portland Trailblazers last night. Malik Monk had a career-high 10 assists, made 12 straight free throws, and scored 16 points in the fourth quarter and overtime. Frankie Cardicelli has a must-read recap of the game live from the stadium as our Sactown Sports Kings Insider. You can check it out at sactownsports.com and the front page of your Sactown Sports app. The Kings' next game is their first ever in-season tournament matchup at home against the Oklahoma City Thunder on Friday. Your Sacramento State Hornets are at home this Saturday at 2 p.m. against the Cal Poly Mustangs. Get your tickets at hornetsports.com. Those are your headlines. It's time for us to hand out some dogs of the game here on Stiles and Watkins.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big money at Menards. Add comfort to your life with Menards' great selection of Serta mattresses. Find the perfect mattress that fits your size and firmness needs. Hurry in today and pick up a Serta Gel memory foam mattress in a box on sale now through May 27. Take control of your comfort with Serta mattresses at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Your flagship station for the Beam Team, Sactown Sports.
It is time. Who let the dogs out? The dogs are running around Golden 1. Last night, as the Kings beat the Trailblazers 121-118 in overtime. And it is time for us to name our dogs of the game. I'm going to go to the text line and the YouTube chat first. So, Chris, you got time to do yours. And, Kyle, you have time to do yours as well. Let's see here. Family Schlegel, I think my dog of the game is Alex Len. After looking at the box score, 4-for-4 field goals, going to the line for 2-of-5 free throws, 6 boards, 3 offensive boards, 1 assist, 1 steal, 2 blocks.
Dang.
10 points in 13 minutes. By the way.
And he didn't get his body caught, I guess.
Well, not that. Right, he got 3 that? Bodies. He dunked on 3 dudes.
Somebody, yeah.
He dunked on 3 dudes. Chris Wright agrees with that. Alex Len.
Shout
there you
Alex.
Go. Nick Town. The
Artillery
best
Alex.
Last night. Oh, my goodness. Monk, Domas, Davion, and Alex Len. Let the big dogs eat. There you go. The 7-1-4. Throw Keegan in the dog. How? Come on, 7-1-4.
That's a good one.
Throw Keegan in the dog.
He can be the dog that Nate was playing yesterday.
He'll get there.
He can be that
he'll
chihuahua.
He'll get there. We just did a great segment on Keegan. He'll be all right. You got to appreciate the caterpillar. 707, Sabonis has to be the dog.
Butterfly.
All capitals. 1 assist away from a triple-double against the number 1 overall pick. Needed him to show up, and he did. Malik Monk as well, honorable mention as a dog. From the 714, Mike Brown is a dog for changing up the starting lineup. I like that. Not being like afraid that. To shake things up, just like the Baja men would want. Wow.
Love that one.
That's outstanding.
Shout out to Baja boys.
Jess Escoto, dogs for me last night were Davion, Alex Len, and Kessler. Manny too legit.
Man.
My dog of the game was Malik Monk. He was the star of the show yesterday and made some big clutch free throws and even got a career high with his first 10 assists. Keep them coming. We want to see all the dogs that you have. Let's go to Kyle behind the glass first. Kyle, who's your dog?
We threw out a lot of names earlier, but it's got to be leader of the bench unit, the Monkyard Dogs.
Wow.
It's Malik Monk.
Monkyard Dog. Row, row.
The Monkyard Dog is the dog of the game.
That's right. Okay, that is Kyle's dog of the game, Malik Monk.
Sir.
Chris, who you got?
I
got
to agree with Kyle. Not
really?
Just because Kyle made a great point, but he also had a great nickname, the Monkyard Dog. Absolutely.
That is actually pretty fire.
Like the fact
is that off the top?
Okay, so last year we were trying to come
okay,
up with
that. Okay, so that's a no. I don't need
All right, let's hear it.
This is old Sacktown Sports lore. On the old afternoon show with Nick and Rami, we were coming up with nicknames for the bench unit, and I loved Monkyard Dogs as the winner, and it didn't get the respect it deserved because Monkyard Dogs was excellent.
And how about Kyle really being a man of integrity? Because a lot of people would have said, yeah, I thought of that off the top of the dome right there.
Someone on Twitter or text, I don't remember what it was, but either Twitter or text line had a great idea.
Wow, Kyle, just a man of the people, a man of integrity.
Incredible.
You love to see it. The Monkyard Dog making a return.
Of
we
course.
Love that. Chris, who you got?
Yeah,
I'm
going Malik Monk because, when you shoot 4 of 16 and you still have the perseverance and the confidence to just blow through that and get to the line 19 times and hit some of the biggest free throws of the game and set your teammates up the way Malik did. I mean, even when he wasn't hitting shots in that first half, he was diming people up. Mm-hmm. Like, his playmaking yesterday was the best I've ever seen it, and that was shown by his career-high 10 assists. He was so good yesterday. And the Kings, I mean, without De'Aaron Fox, they need that. Like, it's very clear that they need somebody down the stretch of close games. If De'Aaron's not out there, they need Malik Monk. And there's nobody else on this roster who can do anything close to what Malik did yesterday.
And I hate to do it here because it's a nice segment. This is a fun segment. But I do have to ask the question.
Sure.
You see Malik Monk do what he did last night, and do you think to yourself, this is probably going to be the last year with Malik because somebody's going to say that guy can start for my team.
I don't know enough about the very specifics of the cap, but from what I understand, a big part of Sabonis's extension or like restructuring was to allow some money to sign Malik Monk. The last that I heard is the Kings are still very confident that they'll be able to re-sign Malik Monk.
And do you think Malik, not that you know him personally or anything, or maybe you do.
I don't.
The question also becomes,
I don't think Malik's a person you can like ever try and guess.
Right,
he seems like a dude who just definitely marches to the beat of his own drum.
Sure, but I guess the question is, hey, at some point will Malik think, I want to be a starter?
For sure.
And if they do pay him, could you see Malik being a future starter on this team?
I could see him being a future starter on this team for sure. I definitely think he wants a starting role, though. I think especially if this season goes well, if the Kings make the playoffs again, if he performs even near the level that he was in that first round last year, there's no way that the guy that Malik is, and we can't forget, again, I'd like to point out, Malik is in the same draft class as De'Aaron, so he's still, young-ish in his career, year 7 of his career. He's looking to take that next leap, and if it's not going to be in this contract, I don't know if he's ever going to get it, and this is the best he's played in his career. He's going to have to leverage that into at least giving himself an opportunity to be a starter somewhere, so it would probably take this Kings situation being really perfect, and of course the money also making a lot of sense for Malik to stay, but I definitely think his first and foremost goal is going to be who's going to give me the most minutes next year, and I think he deserves it. Like, that's all power to him. It's not like he's selfish in seeking that out.
No.
He's played well enough to show I can be a starter on one of these 30 teams.
Yes.
Come on.
Without a doubt. Yeah. I mean, there's some bad ball being played. I got league pass now and YouTube TV does all 4 of them. Ow, my eyes. Yeah. I mean, I can't watch all this at one time. Just a reminder, Malik Monk, like you said, same draft class as De'Aaron Fox, 11th pick in the draft.
Yeah.
11th pick in the draft.
And if you watch that Kentucky team, I'm telling you, I love De'Aaron Fox. I would have told you, I would have argued with you all day that Malik Monk was the real guy to be worried about on that Kentucky team.
Yeah.
That dude was crazy in college. Just like a ridiculous, that 50-point performance against UNC, I'll never forget it.
Yeah.
So that dude is, he's the sky's the limit for him, truly. Like, I really think he can do everything out there on the basketball floor.
Well, he's with the Beam team now, and according to Chris, he's staying with the Beam
Who's
team.
Who's your dog?
My dog, I'm getting...
Come on, I'm like,
it's Davion.
Okay.
It's Davion Mitchell, man. Look, whether it's happened in your own life or you've seen it happen to your kid or you've seen it happen to a friend, getting relegated to the bench and basically being demoted is really tough.
Yeah.
Right? So for you to be able to come back and have that willpower in this age of, and I'm going to go there, in this age of transfer portal, and I don't like this, so I'm going to leave, or I don't like my role, this, that, the third. And I love the transfer portal. Don't get me wrong. Different conversation for a different day. But
the mentality that
this mentality of if this if the things don't go my way, I'm just not going to be happy. Davion Mitchell said, "Bump that. I know who I am. I know what I can do. Coach is challenging me, and I have a decision to either meet that challenge or fold.
Yep.
And I am a dog, and I'm not going to fold.
Yep.
Davion Mitchell, he's my dog.
That's fair.
He is my dog. Got to get to a break. When we get back, we take a trip around the NBA. Spurs, the Nets. Steph Curry, I know Chris is going to like that segment a little bit too much.
Don't think so.
And the Grizzlies, what's more expensive? Medium fries from McDonald's or a ticket for Grizzlies basketball? Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Brighten your home with big savings at Menards. Combine stylish lighting with LED technology with Fight Electric Smart Color Changing Light Bulbs. They have a full range of colors, allowing you to choose the perfect one to suit your mood. Say big on all Fight Lighting Smart Home products. Now at Menards. Shop our lighting options today in-store and on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Live and local, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., Monday through Friday. Sacktown Sports.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. Thank you for all of your dog contributions. And we're still keeping it going.
Yeah.
If you are just now joining us, thank you for joining us. If you've been rocking with us, then thank you for rocking with us. We just did a dog segment where we chose our dogs of the game. Famously, what was it after the Jazz? Was that the Laker game or the Jazz game, Malik Monk? Must have been the Laker game.
Probably the Laker game, yeah.
Yeah, because De'Aaron wasn't in, and it was Malik time.
Right, yes.
So Malik Monk was asked about the team in a post-game interview, and he said, we got a bunch of dogs on this team. And after the Kings lost to the Rockets in pretty terrible fashion, Chris and I asked the question, where are the dogs? We are looking for the dogs. And now it has turned into whenever the Kings win here on Styles and Watkins, we will do a dog segment and we will play Baja Men, Who Let the Dogs Out. Might not always be Baja Men. I know there are a lot of good dog songs
out
there.
Yeah, we can get different variations.
Be a part of the conversation if you think there's a better dog song. I saw somebody bring, I think it was Jess, bring up DMX.
Yeah, I was like, we have to get DMX barks in there.
Yes, we will definitely get some barks. That was my walkout song senior year, actually. It was X Gonna Give It To You.
Oh, of course. Yeah,
you know, that's great times.
Of course. Wow.
Great times.
I don't know if there's a better walkout song. Like, if you're really trying to get the juices flowing,
that's right.
Really don't think there's like a better, like, what is it, 10 seconds that you can play?
Yes, exactly. So we will keep that going. And again, if you want to be a part of the conversation, you have your dogs, we're going dogs all day when we see a beam and the Kings win. As we talk about feeling better about the Kings and whether you do or not, and we've been really positive on this show because why not after you get a W? But we do have to be realistic here.
Sure.
And as I sit here and I think about what's going to happen on Friday and Shai Gilgeous, which we're hoping that we get an update on De'Aaron Fox today. If not, we'll have one for you tomorrow when the game is going to happen. But I would love to see a matchup between Shai and De'Aaron Fox. Not sure if we're going to get it, but man, Chet Holmgren He's in a race with Wembanyama as for Rookie of the Year. These guys, Josh Giddey, these guys got some length. These guys got some boys that are really looking to take the next step. And I got to be honest with you, Chris, as much as we loved that beam last night, if Keegan Murray continues to shoot like this and they have another game where Malik Monk goes 0-7, I don't know if you're going to beat the Thunder.
No, I was going to tell you right there, I don't think they can beat the Thunder if De'Aaron Fox isn't going because, frankly, they just need somebody to go head-to-head with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. That dude is out of control. I don't know if you saw the stat line he put up yesterday.
I did.
43. He had 43 yesterday.
He's a Prize Picks monster, by the way.
Exactly, yeah.
Fantasy basketball monster.
Points, rebounds, assists. If you just do points, if you just any of them, he's going to go the over most times, times than not. So, I mean, the Kings really need their star if they want to compete because with how Keegan's playing right now, Kevin looks to be better, but is that something I want to trust going into that game? Not without De'Aaron Fox. I don't want to have to rely on it.
So you think it's an L without De'Aaron?
I think it's going to be a really tough game without De'Aaron. I think the fact that OKC doesn't have a lot of bigs maybe makes it easier for Sabonis and for the guys to get to the rim, which I thought they did an excellent job at yesterday. But, I mean, just to have to try and match what Shai's going to bring, I think it's going to be really tough with how we've seen the Kings struggle to score points. It's just going to be really tough for them to try and keep up if he's going to have a monster night like that, which, frankly, I mean, there's no reason – there hasn't been any uptick in Kings defense that makes me believe they're going to slow Shai down at all. I mean, they allowed Jeremy Grant 38 yesterday, you know?
Well,
Brogdon had it going before he got taken out. Shaedon Sharpe was able to kind of get whatever he wanted. I don't really have faith that Shai is going to be able, or that the Kings are going to have any answer for Shai.
So now what?
Who are you putting on Shai?
But now you have me in a tough spot. Right?
No, I don't got you in a tough spot. Got the Kings. In a tough spot.
You have me in a tough spot because Shai is a point guard.
He
is. So, I just gave Davion the dog of the game.
Yep.
So, he is supposed to be your guard shutdown.
Supposed to be.
Are you saying he's not?
Against certain matchups. Klay Thompson shot right over. Like, this has been my thing with Davion. It's just, I think he's got a limit to how effective he can be if he's not, if he's going against a Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who's a 6'6 point guard. He's got a 7-foot wingspan. I just don't think Davion got anything for him.
Well, you got Shai, who's 6'6", and Josh Giddey is a shady 6'8".
Yeah.
Right? So, yeah. I mean, it's just tough, man, because you've used the GP2 comparison. And, Kyle, I'm trying to look this up as we do it here. Can you help me get GP2's wingspan compared to Davion Mitchell and their comparisons?
Davion got little T-Rex arms,
too. No, stop that. Because I got T-Rex arms. I got alligator arms. I don't appreciate that. Did you see that on YouTube? He is literally making alligator arms. This is ridiculous.
What are you talking about?
No, don't hide your arms now. This is crazy. I mean, I hear what you're saying. So you're just thinking.
I just think it's a tough matchup.
It's Keegan. It's Keegan to me.
They got J-Dub, too. You know, they got their own rookie who are sophomore now.
Two J-Dubs.
Pretty good. Yeah, two of them. Two of them things.
All right, so Gary Payton at draft time was reported as a 6 foot, 6.5 inch wingspan.
I was like, wait, whoa.
6 foot, six and a half wingspan. And then Davion is 6'4", 0.25. So about 2 inch. Gary Payton's got about 2 inches on him.
And what's the height difference?
Well, give me a second. Because,
you know, if you're gonna you know, portion it out, you know.
Right.
Is my Davion point, too?
My point is that I don't see GP2 as, just thinking of shutdown defenders.
Sure. Yeah.
I don't see GP2 as.
Two-inch difference. So same.
Okay, so
same
it's thing. About
their
proportion.
Their wingspan, yeah, proportionate, just 2 inches.
And I guess
larger.
If somebody is 6'6", that can make a difference.
It can definitely make a difference. I mean, and it's just as simple as, like, just making the shot. Because, again, we saw on Klay Thompson, Davion Mitchell did everything. He played picture-perfect defense. He just wasn't tall enough to realistically contest that jump shot.
You know what? And this brings up a good point as we continue to talk about the Blazers win, but start to transition here to the future. And the first in-game tournament, we will be on site. Chris will be there. Check into the post game. How were the vibes in the post game last night, by the way?
yesterday was a little weird because I had to kind of find a location to do my post-game stream from because I couldn't be on the court because they were subbing it out for the in-season tournament court. So I had to do it in the stands. But usually the chat's pretty good, and it's always it always sucks because I feel like as I'm winding down is when people are really starting to tune in. And so it's kind of, you know, the vibes are always good, though.
Good, good. Yeah. And, you know, as we go around the NBA and Sixers get the W against the Celtics last night, one thing that I thought was really interesting as we talk about the comps for Davion Mitchell, and I think Davion Mitchell is worlds better than Patrick Beverley offensively.
Yeah.
I don't even think that's close. And Patrick Beverley, I hope you're not listening. I don't want to end up on your podcast. Feel free to come on the show, Pat. Yeah. Feel free to come on the show. But one thing I noticed is Patrick Beverley is supposed to have one job.
Yeah.
Right? He's your shutdown guy.
Yep.
I'm watching SportsCenter last night, and it's one of the last possessions of the game. And Patrick Beverley, who can do one thing.
Yep.
Davion is better than Patrick Beverley offensively, and I don't even know how close it is. He can do one thing. Patrick Beverley was on Drew Holiday.
Mm-hmm.
He was on Drew Holiday. He wasn't even on Jaylen Brown, let alone Jason Tatum.
Sure.
So these guys who, I'm a shutdown guy, you are in certain situations. They were talking about Drew Holiday not having a good enough offensive bag. That's why the Bucks move off of him.
Right.
So your number one defender, quote unquote, is on Drew Holiday when the game is on the line because he can't go up against a Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, I just think that there's a certain limit to his effectiveness, and I think that's what makes, you know, these big point guards so tough to guard in general. But it's like when you're Davion Mitchell and you're just completely outsized the way that he is against Shea, I think that's a really, really tough matchup. It's a tough ask for him to go against him and realistically expect to get a lot out of him offensively or defensively. I just think it's going to be a really tough night for him.
So
we need De'Aaron. that's
okay. Well, we don't know that we have. Well, not that De'Aaron going to shut down Shea.
No, but at least he can, you know, lighten the scoring. Right. You and know, if De'Aaron Shea gets 30, it might Shea knock out guard Shea's De'Aaron. 35 as well.
Because the other thing I'm thinking is if De'Aaron is out again, you'd have to go Keon Ellis again. At least he gives you length.
Yeah, you have to. Yeah,
at least he gives you length. And, just focus on shutting him down as best he can.
Too, yeah. And, you know, we heard so much about how Kevin Huerter is actually sneakily one of the Kings' best defenders. That would be a good opportunity to kind of show that.
We know it ain't
going to
be Davion.
Yeah.
We know it ain't going to be Davion. Got to get to a break. When we get back, continuing to go around the NBA and highlight what happened last night in the Kings game, moving forward as well to the game tomorrow. Over under, what's more expensive, Grizzlies basketball tickets or medium McDonald's French fries? Stiles and Watkins, Sactown Sports.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.